What's going on? Welcome back to another ESL podcast. I am so excited today. First and foremost, I must give a shout out to my brother Janaid. He got a 9.0 in IELTS speaking. That is correct. He got an overall 8 band. He got an 8.5 in reading, an 8.0 in listening. He got a 7 in writing. So, I am very, very grateful for this, and I'm just so excited that he told me after this specific podcast. I'm just grateful in general that I finally brought someone on from Pakistan. You know, I've done, you guys probably will have heard by this point, another guy from Pakistan who I had recorded. But if not, again, Junaid, him having migrated, you know, or immigrated from, well, not necessarily immigrated, but he went to Canada to pursue his degree, and now he's taking general, IELTS general training, and man, this guy is amazing, especially the stories that he has, especially towards the end, a very heartwarming story, a very powerful message in general, but also a very funny story at the beginning, in terms of how we met. And so, nonetheless, guys, the power of Facebook groups, but it all came, I had to fight off a couple of demons on there. You guys are going to enjoy this one, all right? This is a fun one. And again, guys, just sit back, relax, and tune into this craziness. Junaid, thanks so much for coming on, man. How are you doing this morning or evening, your time?
Thank you so much, Arsenio, for having me over on this podcast. I am doing very well. Thank you very much. It's actually 6:05 p.m. over here in Edmonton in Canada. It's a beautiful day. The sun is just about to set in 2 hours from now, and it's just those last rays of the sun that I'm enjoying. It's really beautiful.
Awesome. Before we even get in from like Pakistan to Canada, I know a lot of people are like, whoa, what, Canada? Before we get into that, I want you to tell them this story in terms of how we met. I thought this is so funny because, again, we had talked about this before. Me going into a Facebook group and then you seeing my message. I want you to, like, run it through what, you know, the first time you saw my post and then, you know, engaging in a conversation. What was it?
So it was a Facebook group that I actually saw your comment on. Yeah. And I was looking to see if I could like speak to some similar aspiring people who just wanted to take IELTS in the near future. And I wanted to see if I could speak to them or perhaps prepare with them by exchanging our writings or exchanging our thoughts on the speaking process and all. And then I found out that on a post, there were a lot of comments. And one of those comments was yours. And that was about, if you want to speak to someone, just inbox me. And at first I thought, okay, I think this is just another scammer who is just offering, who's going to offer a certificate and for in exchange for some huge amounts of money.
Damn.
But I thought, okay, let's just have a look at his profile. And I looked at your profile and it said, Arsenio Buxo. I was like, okay. Well, I don't know if he's really inspired by that show or if he's the host of that show himself. Yeah. I just inboxed you. And to my amazement, you replied in seconds. Mm. And I was like, okay, well, things have started to take some shape. So let's just see where the ball rolls. And then I texted you on and off. And you had your own engagements as well. But then afterwards, we ended up into a conversation on this Zoom meeting. And I was so excited to learn that it was not a scammer. It was a real person. Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say. And I was so happy after talking to you.
Yeah, it was such an inspiring talk. You know, going back to that Facebook group, man, I got targeted. Because I started calling out scammers because you were saying that, oh, you could buy these certificates. And I'm like, okay, where are the moderators? Why aren't you like reporting these profiles to Facebook? Why aren't you kicking these people out? These are like scammer gangs from, you know, I hate to say, but primarily India, just giving you guys a location. But then I was the source of a target. So then they started flooding my Facebook pages saying, oh my God, like ridiculous things. They were like sticking up for their scamming capabilities. They were like, oh, we're not scammers. Dude, you're literally giving them fake certificates. Are you kidding me? So anyways, yeah, I had to like hide my Facebook profile. I'm going to hide it for like the next 3 months from a few countries and whatnot. But yeah, man, you know, Junaid, I had to call people out on the scam nonsense, man. You know, oh my goodness.
This is ridiculous. Like people offering you certificates for things that you have not done, for things that you've not strived for. And it's really, I mean, I don't know what exact word should I use for this phenomenon. It literally ruins lives. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone is just like, okay, I want to immigrate to Canada. And that's why I'm taking this IELTS general for. Mm-hmm. And then they end up purchasing those certificates. They end up as praise to those hunters out there who loot their money, hard earned money. And then in the end, they offer those certificates. And in the processes of verification, those are just, I would say, singled out. Those certificates, those fake certificates are singled out, and those bearers, the bearers of those certificates, they're banned for life to apply to immigration in Canada.
Oh my God. I'm so, did that just happen, Junaid, either in Canada or Singapore? Did you hear the news last year, right? There were like 500 people from India that had fake certificates and they all got sent back home. I forgot what country it was.
I don't remember exactly, but there was one such news like this. I don't exactly remember what country it was,
right,
but yes,
right. Yeah.
Scamming is real and it happens and people face consequences for what they do.
So I love what you just said. You said people just want to be awarded, but they don't put in the work. I think that's very, very important for everyone. Just, okay, scamming aside, everyone needs to understand that unless your video goes viral and you become a TikTok phenom, you gotta put in the work in your respective field of endeavor, right? You're that's not right. just going to become the best. If you get an IELTS 7.5, some of these instructors or people are going to expect you to communicate very thoroughly. But then if you got broken English and you sound like someone who got like a 4.5 or a 5, you will be exposed. So
that's right. That's right. I've even heard like people who had immigrated. Oh, there was a news in the UK. I don't know. But those were the people who were born there. But their parents had immigrated back like 50 years or 60 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know how true that is, but those parents submitted fake documents back then. But then their kids who were born and who were raised over there in the UK, they were expelled from the country and they were put into a stateless position. No country was ready to accept them.
Oh my God. Just because the actions of what had happened in their past generation in terms of their parents.
That's right. And I've heard there's a similar practice in Canada too. Like if anyone's reporting your fake documents, even after those 20 or 30 years, they're just going to usurp your right to be a Canadian citizen for life.
Man, so for everyone out there who's listening, don't go the fake route. Put in the work. Nothing is given to you unless you're
That's
born
right.
into a very wealthy family. Congratulations. No hard feelings to you, but you still got to put in the work or you will be exposed at one point. So
that's right. No
Junaid.
Pain, no gains.
No pain, no gain. Let's go from Pakistan to Canada. First and foremost, all my folks listening from Pakistan, you guys are probably inspired by Junaid. Junaid, how did you start learning English? Because people are listening to your accent and they're like, what the hell? I don't sound like that. But again, it's not so much about sounding like you, but it sounds like you've been learning for a long time. So when did it begin? How did you like continue to immerse yourself in English living in Pakistan before going to Canada?
Well, I think I consider myself privileged in the sense that I got taught by the best teachers out there, who literally helped, shaping me into who I am today. And they actually put in a lot of work into me. That's probably one of the reasons I would say I was able to find out what techniques are there, how to establish my route, how to go along that route, how to walk that route, and just find out and try to see what I have to prioritize. And yeah, it's pretty much about that.
I see. So having those teachers, having those mentors, those advisors, possibly even coaches and people around, and just a supportive backbone that built that foundation. So again, for a lot of people out there, if you don't have a strong foundation and strong soil underneath you, it could become a problem. You know, it's kind of like it's like the building analogy, right? So if you build a building on like top soil, it's going to fail, right? So you're going to have to go bedrock. We're talking all the way deep where the roots are. And that's where you start building from. So that's a really good explanation.
That's right. That's right. And along the way, there were, apart from the regular teachings, apart from the regular instructions in English as a subject, I think I was privileged enough to have my school where the medium of instruction was entirely English, except for a few subjects, except for a few other language subjects, just like the national language of Pakistan, which is Urdu, in which we are supposed to speak, we are supposed to talk and walk in Urdu. Except for that, all other subjects were taught essentially in English. And there was especially a period, there was especially a lecture for lecture that was called Spoken English, and in which we did a lot of fun activities. We were not enforced, but we were taught through fun learning. We were taught through actions. We were taught how to make English a part of our everyday lives. And that all began from the moment I entered the school. And it's just those culminating efforts of my teachers that have helped me become who I am today, not only in terms of English, but also in terms of as an engineer, also in terms of becoming an engineer that I am by profession.
Wow. You know, it's always that, you know, me going back, was this 17 years ago? There was that specific teacher that, you know, he pushed me to a place where I never thought I could ever go, like expanded beyond the borders. You know, his name was Dennis Blackmer. And I remember when I first went into his class, he's like, oh, we need to learn how to dissect sentences. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, subject, verb, adjective, adverb, preposition, conjunction, all these subordinatives. And I'm like, I don't know what any of that means. I don't remember learning about any of this. But it went from there to 50-minute presentations, and it just continued to get bigger and bigger. And I didn't know I could go there. I didn't know I could go to these places. So you would probably consider these teachers, these mentors, to be these types of people, right? Pushing you beyond your limits.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. But you always, you know, yeah. So there are people who actually don't appreciate you, what you're doing sometimes, right? And I also got taught by teachers who would essentially call me that I was trying to be innovative most of the time, because during my course of studies in the higher classes, sometimes they would call me, hey, this guy is trying to be innovative, he just doesn't focus on the rote learning, which is sometimes a medium, sometimes a way of teaching, especially when you don't have time. So, but I did not pay heed to that. I would just say, okay, if you like that, I would do that. And apart from those regular classes, I would just essentially engage in book reading or watching movies and engaging in some other activities that would helped me flourish English at my own private level. And that's how I improved it all the way.
Wow. So, okay. So going back to those classes and, you know, being singled out and stuff, is this what happened in Pakistan or Canada?
That's what happened in Pakistan.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, because, man.
People are sometimes not used to going out, just leaving that regular path of teaching or regular course of actions. They just, when you just try to single out or just try to improve yourself, of course, you're going to make mistakes on the way, and which is a sure sign of learning. But sometimes when it's a big class and teachers don't have the time to answer all of your questions, they would just simply tell you, hey, this guy is trying to be someone who he's not.
Damn.
Yeah. But yeah. I did not let anything like that lower my spirits. I just kept high, held my head high, and continued along the way. And I don't think I made a good decision.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The rest of my folks.
Absolutely. You gotta embrace your uniqueness. There are too many people out there that just want to fit in with mediocrity. Like you're in a sea of mediocrity, but you have excellence. You know what I mean? And this is, and again, when we go back to teaching, oh my God, I'm the first one to say, you know what? Schools in America, garbage. Universities in America, garbage. Like, I'm not calling out every single division. I know that some are trained specifically to the, you know, the unique qualities and the core genius of individuals. But when you teach generally, you're reaching no one. I'm going to repeat that for everyone out there. If you teach generally, it's kind of like with podcasting, right? If I'm speaking to everyone, I'm speaking to no one.
Yes.
So this is why it's very important that there are now entrepreneurs that are developing curriculum from ages 9 or 11, 13, 15, that, you know, you actually choose the correct career path to develop your strengths, because universities and traditional universities, they force you to choose a career before you're legally able to buy a beer. And so this is one of the critical miscomponents of all education systems around the world. Now, again, nurses, doctors, lawyers, okay, love you, we need you. Not so much lawyers. Doctors, nurses, you know, firefighters, and ambulance, paramedics. Thank you very much. But that's not what I've been put on this planet to do. Maybe other people, but not me. So when you went to Canada, how different was that, Junaid? That type of mindset in Pakistan versus Canada?
Well, at first, I would say I was not very well received. When I expressed my ambition to go abroad, I was told, okay, well, we have everything over here in Pakistan. We should probably strive to make the country better. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, while your point is valid, I have, like, whenever we are looking at things, we are trying to emulate those first world countries, right? So since Canada is one of those countries, I think I thought that in my profession, there is always a room for improvement. And my inspiration was to learn those international standards of construction, to understand those international trades and tricks of construction, and then go back to my country to apply them to achieve better products. And yeah, while I was not very well received at first, I did have a hard time convincing my family, my immediate family, my distant family, my friends, that I need to go abroad and study and find a way for myself.
Right.
Yeah, but I was lucky. In the end, everyone just settled and they just bore with me. And now most of them say that I was right in taking my decision to go abroad to study.
So were your parents supportive?
Yes. Okay, my parents have been extremely supportive all throughout this process, except it's just sometimes those emotions that you get from your mother. You know, like mothers are so caring and they're so sensitive. The same happened with me. My mother misses me a lot. And sometimes she's like, okay, I think it's enough. You have spent a good time abroad and you just now need to come back. That's how much I can live without you. You just need to come back as soon as you can. That's when she is in a very emotional state and I then have to kind of like support her, explain her,
yep.
and offer her some emotional support and tell her that whatever I am doing over here is for you guys. And I'll see you guys really soon.
Yeah, that's, you
then
know.
That's when I kind of satisfy her. Yeah, it's kind of like a culture over there that families are united and they live in shared homes, even after marriages. The children, they tend to live in their parents' homes. So there's actually the joint family system that's prevailing mostly all around Pakistan. I'm a part of the same family system. So that's why I had a really, I would say, hard time convincing my media and my distant family, mm-hmm. and then friends, and then I had to move out. And now most of my friends who I talk with who are in Pakistan, they just ask me to find a way to get them here to Canada and study just as I did or immigrate as they want to in future. But wow. It's been a good ride. It's been a very worthy journey. And I've loved every inch of the way.
You know, that's, first and foremost, oh my God, I just had my thought and it just went away. But going back to, you know, the emotion, I remember when, oh man, when I moved away for college, when I moved to Australia and my mother was crying. She was there with me. When I moved to college with my uncle, and they were both crying at the airport. And of course, when mm-hmm. you see mom crying, you don't see her cry often. You know, boy, it produces you to tears at the age of 18.
That's right.
And then Australia, you know, was very difficult, although I saw her a year later. But then it was a little bit different when I came here to Thailand because I didn't have my mom take me to the airport because there was just so much friction and there was just so much, oh my God, there was so much distrust that was happening within the household and so much jealousy and envy because, again, I was very, very selfish for hoarding my money that I worked so hard for and saved it so I could move to Thailand to inspire children, all this other stuff, you know? So it was a little bit different because I was looking at my mom. I was like, nah, those aren't. I'm not buying it this time. So very unfortunate. I've learned a lot about families, about friends, about people in general over the last like 10 years. But yeah, speaking emotionally, you have to understand, like when you speak emotionally, a lot of facts aren't there. So you were the centerpiece to say, hey, mom, listen, I got to do this. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be back there soon and this and that. So you, you know, you're like that beaming light. Like, he's the go-getter. He's the go-getter type that went to Canada. And so that's awesome. But what are some of the things that you had to overcome being out there in Canada? Because I know a lot of students who have traveled abroad. My students here from Thailand going to America, them being subjects, unfortunately, of racial discrimination because they go to, I would have to say, the predominantly Caucasian states. Like if you go to a small rural town in Idaho, as any other color than the color that is present there, you're bound to have some resistance. So I know that there have been a lot of things that, you know, you were telling me some stories and then you told me the story about the bus stop, which you're going to talk about after that. But yeah, tell me some of the things that you had to overcome there.
Yeah. So after celebrating the silver jubilee of my life, I landed in Canada. So it was like starting my life all over again, being born into a place that I had always dreamed about. And when I finally landed, I found out that the struggle was much more than what I had expected. Although the systems are very well streamlined over here and things are just out of bay. But then again, in order to know the system well, in order to explore all your surroundings, in order to address the challenges of residents, food, and such stuff like where to get what services, what's approachable where. You have to like do quite a bit of work, but it's just a matter of the first 2 or 3 months, I would say, that decide whether they're gonna make you or break you. But and mostly I would say that the success rate is 99%. I would say above 99%. Mostly people are they start enjoying it within the first 2 or 3 months as soon as they overcome those early first challenges, and they just start to enjoy the life here. Yeah, but I just had to like find a ride home after first landing at this airport and find my way. But I was really lucky to. I think it's really great, the system that they have over here, like especially of finding addresses. It's just street number this and avenue number this, and that's the house number. That's it. It's just those three steps that you walk through and you get to the right address. It's really convenient, I would say. But yeah, just like when I have like food restrictions, so I have to look for halal stuff, the stuff that I'm permitted to eat. And that was a bit of a challenge in the start, but I was really, I found that store just a few blocks away from where I lived, and I have changed residences about 2 or 3 times ever since I've come over here. And I've lived pretty much around that same store, I would say, just to ease my groceries and food. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Other than that, everything's been good. Everything's been good. Yeah. I did not really have a problem while studying at the university, anything like that. Everything was pretty much solvable. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the great parts about Canada in general, you know, because in Canada, there's so, and I think you said this last time, there's so multicultural, right? A lot of people would say, but that's America is too, but America doesn't want to accept the multicultural. Maybe you might get it in New York. Maybe. I'm not exactly sure. I know I got folks from Manhattan, New York that listened to me and whatnot, but you know, it's not so much of an embracing there. It's more of a, oh, we got to exist, you know, with each other. But in Canada, I just don't see it like that. I see more of an embrace. Is that right?
That's right. People are really supportive of each other most of the time, except for a few videos that just keep popping out of nowhere here and there over the internet. Other than that, people are really good. I mean, I've never been racially profiled over here or being called out just on the basis of my skin or who I look like.
Yeah.
I think Canada is highly dependent on the diversity and on the multiculturalism. Mm. And I really love that the city that I live in over here, it's called the City of Festivals. And every year we get to celebrate a cultural day it's actually the Heritage Week that lasts about 3 days in August, and it's a holiday, and all the cultures from across the world that live in Canada, they come together into a recent park. That's a beautiful park that has bodies of water, and those bodies of water are then surrounded by tents, each belonging to each different country that is from which people live in Canada, and they showcase their cultures, their foods, their music, their dances, their dresses, everything.
Wow,
that's how Canada celebrates the heritage from different cultures, from different countries across the globe. I really like that.
Yeah, see, this is why, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, my perception of, if a student asks me, hey, our teacher AJ, of course, out here in Thailand, they call me AJ because they can't pronounce my first name. But, you know, they ask me, hey, where should I go? And again, these countries change from time and time again. Like before 2016, I would say, you know, America's, it's okay, but then again, what state? Because then again, you know, a lot of them are placed in these states, in these small towns, that it doesn't make much sense. So I'm like, okay, but you know, if they say where else, I'm like, well, you can't go to Australia. There are too many Thai people there. You're going to meet your own people and you're never going to be able to immerse yourself in the English language, you know, culture, such as what happened to me. Now, granted, I did meet folks from Colombia. I did meet folks from over here and over there, which is fantastic, but I never really had great Aussie friends. And that took away from my entire one year living there. So now in present day, I'm like, you guys would absolutely love it in Canada, because Canada is ridiculously diverse.
It's rich in diversity, I would say. I had a teacher who had come back from the US. He had studied there on the Fulbright. He was an extremely talented teacher, a very young and dynamic individual. And when I was deciding to select some destination abroad for my studies, I was picking choices from Asia and from North America. So I consulted with him one day, and he really moved me by saying that you've had enough of the Asian experience. Whichever country you go to after Pakistan, it's probably going to be the same, not just in terms of culture, but more in terms of values.
Yes.
And I just said, okay, well, you're more experienced than me, and I haven't never heard this thing from anyone else, more so because all the other people that I was taking advice from all had come from Asian countries, either from Japan or from China. And they were like, okay, well, if you want to go, it's good. But this man, this teacher who had come back from the US, he actually pushed me to select Canada as a destination. And then I was like, okay, man, you got to do it. And when I talk to him now, I thank him probably every time that you really helped me take the first big step of my journey. And that's really great. I'm really thankful to him for guiding me through this. Yeah.
And it's always that person, I'm telling you. It's kind of like the purposeful relationships that we end up having. And
that's right.
At the time, we're not able to understand, like, okay, why did that person come into my life? But X amount of weeks, months, years later, you look back and you say, ah, got it. Lesson learned. You know what I mean? So
that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
And I want you to top this bad boy off. You told me a story that I thought was so unbelievable about you being at the bus stop with another woman. Again, I would just say, you know, a Canadian, but let's just say African descent. We don't know exactly, but she was colored like me. But I want you to tell everyone this story in regards to that.
Yeah, so it was just a regular day after work, and I was just standing at the bus stop waiting for a bus. I see this young woman come up there, and I was really fascinated by the type of hair she was wearing. It was those little braids that she had made on her head, like those intertwined hair that really tightly packed into those long ponytails. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know. I first asked her, is it okay if I ask you a question? I don't know if it's appropriate. It's about culture. If it's about how you look. She said, well, okay, I don't really understand, but just go ahead. I was like, okay. Yeah, exactly. You gotta have the permission for
it. Yeah, absolutely.
You just gotta be polite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I asked her, how often do you do this hair? Doesn't this really take you a lot long to just tie them up into how they look like right now? How do you maintain them? How do you manage them? And how do you brush your hair in the morning and all? And she was like, okay, well, this is how it is. And we do it and we just wash them regularly, but I don't open them or let them breathe until a month. It's so they require a real maintenance after a month, after a full 1 month. And we talked about a few other things too, concerning those. And then there came this topic about racism, racial profiling, and identifying individuals on the basis of the skin color. And I asked her if she was Canadian. She told me she was. She said, "Yes, I am Canadian. I was born here. But my parents are from an African country." I was like, okay, so how do you see when people try to segregate you on the basis of your skin color? She says, okay, it doesn't matter to me anymore. I'm black and I'm proud of my skin color. Mm. And then there was another question, which I don't exactly remember at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that again was, I'm black and I'm proud of it. I noticed that twice or thrice. Wow. In her conversation. And she she did not get defensive. Okay. But it was just like those questions didn't really have, I was not expecting any different answer, but I just continued to talk to her. And then she said, well, I am black and I'm proud of it. I was like, excuse me, I think I have heard you say this probably at least 3 or 4 times, that you are really stressing on the color of your skin. You are telling me again and again that you're black, you're proud of it. Damn. Could I please ask you, why do you think you are identifying yourself on the basis of your skin color? Mm. I mean, every human being is unique, but why is only the color of the skin your identifiable feature? Why are you giving this away to someone to talk about you? Why are you just giving this only feature of yours for someone to identify you, to just separate you out? Is that the only unique thing that you have? Don't you have any other thing in your personality? And she said, yes, I do have a lot many other things. I'm a good athlete. I've been very good at studies, and I'm doing a lot of charity, but then people just identify me on the basis of the skin color. And then I thought, okay, here are my 2 cents. I think it's because you give them this thing to identify you with. I think skin color should not be a measure of who you are as an individual. Your actions, those speak louder than words. Mm. Just tell the world your positive side. Mm. Show them you've got other attributes, mm, which separate you from every other individual. Just show them you are unique in your own way, and it does not necessarily have to be skin color all the time. There must be something else that you can use to identify yourself. There are a lot of great women who were dark-skinned, but they chose to identify themselves, but they chose to show the world that they were deeper than the skin color. They were larger than life. They were different individuals. I think we need to change this mindset. And I literally saw her cry. She said that you are right. And I just tried to console her. Well, I did not mean to make you cry, but I just wanted to motivate you that you could do better than what you were currently doing. Mm-hmm. And she just totally agreed with me. Wow. Yeah. That was the end of the conversation, because then the bus came over and we just had to write that. But I was really happy. I actually gave someone some moral support, something that they could think over. And I hope I made a positive impact on their life.
Absolutely. You know, that story, man, it's the story of my life being out here in Thailand. You could only imagine. You know, I haven't mm-hmm. told anyone on my English language podcast this, but when I first came here to Thailand, there was resistance coming from the parents. They were like, oh, we don't want a black teacher. You know, and then, you know, the people, it's funny. I would go to different restaurants with this Irish teacher And again, not the best looking individual in the world. I'm just trying to tell you. But, you know, he would go to the counter. They would be like, oh, my God, he's so handsome. Again, not the best looking individual in the world, but I'm not here to judge nor say. But then when I come to the counter, I saw their faces go from jubilance to sheer terror. Terror or hate, you know, like epigenetic
faces
type of hate.
That just spew the venom of despise.
Yeah. Absolutely. Despise, like, ew, black. And these were my experiences, you know, in applying for jobs. You know, they would say, no, black teacher, I've been turned away at interviews. You know, I've worked for companies where they've been openly racist about a lot of different things. And, you know, you could only imagine what that does to an individual who was just so open-minded and thought that the world was his oyster. And then I just, I get completely crushed. And, but then personal development came. Then I started changing my rhetoric. I started changing my language. I went from reactive to proactive. And I started developing a new mindset. And, you know, through transformation programs and so many other things, you know, this year, all thanks to COVID, COVID shut everything down. So I was able to, like, come back and focus on myself. But I am no longer just a color in the American fabric. I am what holds it together, and people need to understand.
That's right. You are essential to them. I'm just, I would just like to add in an example for here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, thanks. So most of the time we see those runway models who are just those fair skinned, like they have a fair complexion. And they have like those really nice body features. But when they wear black, how outstanding does that look? Right? How well it complements their color tone, their skin color.
Yeah.
Right? And when you see, you know, the yin and yang symbol, right? The yin and yang symbol, that's in the Chinese or Taiwanese philosophy, I'm not 100% sure, but you see it's got those black and white colors trying to mingle with each other, yet at the same time they're trying to remain separate from each other. But if you see them, those two cannot live without each other. Both of them have a tinge or a spot or a speck of the color of their counterpart. That's how essential people are to each other. They should never be identified or separated from each other on the basis of their skin tone. I absolutely abhor this idea. I don't know how just people think of judging each other on the basis of skin color.
And it's
I simply cannot digest that.
Right. I mean, it's just all based on they don't know any better.
Yep, that's
right. You know, if you take a kid from a government school, and here in Thailand, and you say, so what do you think about black teachers? He's going to tell you everything that he knows about them, and it's whatever he's been programmed as. Then you go to an international school that has 60 nationalities or 40 or 30 or 20 or whatever, and you ask them, what do you think about black teachers? They would say, excuse me, I don't think I understand the question. That's actually pretty rude. You see what I mean? Yes. It's what they know, right? Yes. And so it's all based on what their paradigms are, what their geographical and their social blueprints are, what they were raised on, you know, what information they've intake for such a long time. It could be whether it's TV or on Facebook. Luckily, Netflix has done us the greatest service in all of humanity, because now the news out here in Thailand can no longer lie and put us on TV with handcuffs saying, drug pushers. They can no longer put that. Now the Netflix is showing us and backing the Black Lives Matter movement and everything, saying, hey, all lives are considered. And the thing is with Black Lives Matter, they consider themselves to be ousted from the All Lives Matter. So they're saying Black Lives Matter too, which is included in the All Lives Matter. So they're starting to put all these great documentaries showing our history, our culture, and now there's no longer, unity has control. It's no longer segregation like it used to be here 5 years ago. Now, am I aware that there are still racially influenced events happening in Thailand? Yeah. But again, I don't take it. I have empathy rather than anger for those individuals. If I see a girl and she looks at me bad, I'm like, dang, I wonder what her upbringing was. I have empathy for her. My reactionary, you know, how I react before 5 years ago, I would be like, ooh, you know, she looked at me, she's a racist. You see, you see what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand you on that.
Yeah.
But I think it's the social media, I mean, the tools that we have these days, they have essentially helped us in bettering our life. Like, just when such unfortunate incident is about to happen, or you sense it's going to happen, just pull out your camera and start recording the stuff, and you can then have that as an evidence.
Yes.
And yes. Those people who are in a fit of anger, or I don't know what situation of mind they're in at that moment, especially when you're trying to empathize with them, later on when they would see themselves all over social media, they would definitely be discouraged and played down by their fellows, who are definitely going to be more educated than them.
Yes.
So I think they will just try to improve themselves. I think is a very polite way of bettering someone.
Right, and they just have to take that first step into enlightenment. Yeah. Like, okay. Yes. What are these, and this is a great actionable step for everyone, just sit down and say, what are these things that I believe about other groups of people, creeds, colors, religions, whatever you want to say? And then write down where you got those beliefs from. Are they actually yours, or did you inherit them from different outlets, yeah, from your parents, from your environment, from this, from that? And then, are they really true? And then when you say no, then you can clean it up and begin a new slate going from there. That is a powerful message for a lot of people out there.
That's right.
Awesome.
I would totally agree with you on that.
Thanks. So in saying that, Judae, man, wow. Is there a powerful message that you have left? Is there anything else you want to tell the people? Again, you know, I got folks in Pakistan that listen. I know a lot of them are like, oh my God, that's so awesome that, you know, you have great English speaking capabilities. Are there any last words you would like to tell anyone?
Well, I think at this point in time, especially when I am going through a lot of processes, I would just try to disseminate a message that would essentially help me keep going. And others as well who might probably be in the same situation. I would just want to say that you are unique. Just identify your capabilities, identify your strong points, work on them, and excel your way through them.
And it couldn't have been better put. Thank you so much, Junaid, for coming on to my ESL podcast. For everyone out there, thanks for listening. Make sure that you guys leave a nice little review on the Apple Podcast or wherever you might hear this, and engage in conversation if you will. And as always, I'm your host. Guys, thank you again so much for tuning into this one. Again, that story at the end, so powerful. You know, there's going to be a lot of snippets that are going to be made and put onto my Instagram and whatnot. But again, guys, I'm so grateful. It's so amazing how he speaks, right? Like, in terms of the different adjectives that he uses. There are some things that he says that Americans would never say in everyday conversation, right? And so it's just phenomenal how articulate he is, how intellectual he is, how he's able to express his thoughts, how he links the final consonant with another consonant, and, you know, his pronunciation in general, his storytelling, which is magnificent. He's going to be able to inspire a lot of people, and he does realize this. He's going to be able to inspire future generations with the amount of persistence and things that he has seen and things that he has lived through. So, guys, again, thank you so much for tuning in. And stay tuned for more, man. We have a heck of a lot more international speakers that are going to be coming on to this podcast. I'm your host, as always, over and out.